It's important to understand there will always be exceptions. There will always be a need for that human element to look at the things that were not successful. We find 80 to 97% success with the median or average around that 93% success rate, meaning that no human intervention is required whatsoever in the escalations. When the bot is not successful, it also will be able to create processes so that it puts it into a work queue or identifies everything is completed except these few things.
This episode of Vital Conversations is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
Hello, I'm Tim Cohen, and welcome to Vital Conversations, where we talk to practice leaders and industry executives from all walks of life about what they're doing and how their business intersects with technology and data. I'm excited today to have as my guest Natasha Slinkert. Natasha is the CEO of Innobot, a company you may not have heard of, but you need to know about. Natasha, welcome. Thanks for being part of Vital Conversations.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
All right. Who, what, where, why, what is Innobot? Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in healthcare revenue cycle management for 29 years, managing everything from front desk operations, eligibility, authorizations, payment posting to back-end denial appeals, data analytics, process improvements, et cetera. So
As a longtime RCM person, you know, we all collectively look at one another and go, oh, you got suckered into this too, huh?
Yeah.
29 years. So you've been doing this a while. You've seen lots of changes. Sounds like you've touched every part of the process.
Yes, absolutely.
That led to an idea.
Yes. So, you know, when you're managing all of these processes and all of these people, and you have high attrition rates, you have people that are leaving, people that are retiring or going, getting other opportunities. And so in that, you still have all these volumes to manage. And so just out of necessity, I hired a company out of India to help me build robotic process automation for some of those mundane tasks, the small balances and credit balances that just were not the highest priority. And so we built the automation, and it failed epically. It was terrible. This was like 10 years ago. It was brand new in the healthcare industry. And, the reason for that was because, they did not understand all the nuances of healthcare and we didn't understand automation. And so, after tearing it down and starting over from scratch and really getting in there to understand what makes it fail and what makes it successful, we had quite a bit of success. Probably about 18 months, we had just over $1.3 billion increased revenue. And so from that, I stayed a couple of years and automated the rest of the revenue cycle processes as much as possible. And then naturally, I was bored and moved on to the next company and did the same thing. And so then I decided to really bring automation to healthcare in a meaningful and purposeful way, where we could take these revenue cycle experts and the automation experts and combine that knowledge to really translate between the operational workflows and automation.
Let's go back and unpack a couple things. So first of all, you use the three-letter word, robotics process automation, sometimes called RPA, euphemistically called the bots, right? Thus the name Innobot. You said it failed. So here's a question for you. A lot of non-technical RCM people, when they hear the concept of using a bot to do the repetitive process, it makes logical, intuitive sense. And then it breaks. It doesn't work. What is it about the world of bots that bots require care and feeding in some regard? What did you learn about why they broke and how you guys were able to crack the code on getting the bots to a higher level of effectiveness?
Yeah. So bots themselves don't break. Logic that we feed them may be broken, right?
Got it.
Bots can only do exactly what you tell them to. And because we just said, you know, these automation people know how to build automation. So just tell them what we do and they'll build it and it's going to work. Well, it doesn't work that way. There has to be a translation between the operational workflow and all of the nuances that could potentially happen and rigorous testing. So one of the scenarios, we were building a claim status automation, right? It plagues every single hospital system, a physician group, revenue cycle management company, anybody that is in the business of revenue cycle management is plagued with all of these balances sitting in AR, and somebody has to figure out what is the status of these.
So, it used to drive me nuts that we were paying anything for claim status. It's like, wait, we got a prior auth, we submitted electronically, we got a signal back on a handshake that the payer received our claim. We have a contract that tells them when they have to process, and we have to go status our claim. Like no other industry in the world in their integrated automation does that, but we do it in healthcare, right? So claim status, sorry. It just like gives me flashbacks on,
really? Crazy.
We have to do any work to figure out where our claim is. All right, so claim status, sorry.
Yeah, so don't get me started on the payer tactics. We'll keep that in box for now.
Yeah.
So we start writing out the logic, okay? So we're going to have the bot run a report. It's going to log into the practice management software. It'll run a report of all the open balances where the last bill date is more than X days ago, let's say 17 days ago, and the last transaction, denial or payment posted was either prior to or null, right? Prior to that last bill date. So we haven't received a response, then we want the bot to go and navigate to Availity, Navinet, Optum, PaySpan, Instamet, right? So we're going to have the bot go and navigate to these payer portals. It's going to check the status, and then what? Well, if the bot finds that the claim was received and it's processing, then update a note, claim was received on X date and is in process, and add a tickler. If the claim is not on file, create a task so that Sally or Bob can go and work on that queue and see what happened, why that claim didn't get out the door. Now, if it shows that there was a payment or denial, then what do you want the bot to do? Do you want the bot to post that payment or denial if it hasn't been posted? Well, yes, of course we do, right? So we say, yeah, have the bot post it. But there's additional logic that we need to think about. So we had the bot posting these claim statuses, right? Denials, payments that were received. But if the finalized date is yesterday or today, what's going to happen? That remit is going to be imported, and now we have a bunch of duplicate posting, and that creates a whole nightmare.
Yeah, I think what you find when you're deploying RPA, like you said, the technology is probably not the hard part, right? It's the person who, I've got this native knowledge in my head. I think it's a pretty simple process flow, but every one of those little weird scenarios, while it may not happen all the time, it happens enough. If you don't account for it, it breaks. Fleshing out the details of the process flow turns out to really be the hard part.
Yeah. And I think that's really what is our competitive differentiation now. Because if we think about what that process flow was and the questions we were asking, if it was paid or denied, do you want to post it? And the answer is either yes or no. Well, now we've gotten to a point where we've created this workflow enough times that we have a checklist of questions that we ask a client. So if it was paid or denied, do you want the bot to go and check a lockbox account or bank account to see if that EFT hit the bank? Yes. Okay. Then do you want the bot to check and see if this check number has ever been posted to any patient account? And if not, then go and pull the whole remit so it's posting the payments for all of those patients and not just one.
Part of what Innobot is doing, since you've got the domain expertise, you also manage the technology folks, you're this bridge between a client that says, hey, I've heard about this automation stuff. And some of your clients are both practices as well as billing companies. I mean, you kind of cover anybody that's doing rev cycle. You help them understand, oh, there's a lot of detailed questions in here we need to address. It's not just as easy as throw your simple workflow over the wall to the technologist and you'll get back these bots that don't break, right?
Yeah. Important questions like, What's the batch naming convention? Do you have a hard close or a soft close at the end of the month? Those things that you don't necessarily think about.
For people that have not yet explored the use of bots, RPA in the rev cycle, obviously, the more structured, the more repeatable the process, the higher the likelihood that you can use this kind of automation. Give us an example. You mentioned claim statusing. What are some of the other core RCM functions that you think are great candidates for this kind of automation?
Yeah, the things that we're building most often would be going to check eligibility, especially for those Medicare, Medicare Advantage plans. Patient presents as, I have Medicare, but then it will identify who the Medicare Advantage is and update so those claims are getting to the right place. Checking whether authorization is required or not, submitting an authorization request, checking authorization status, posting payments, going and pulling remits and importing them, and then matching the date of service, charge amount, CPT codes, creating templated appeal letters and uploading those to the payer portals, e-faxing it to the claims appeals department. Or if you don't have all of your fee schedules, looking at historical reimbursements to see, you know, 98% of the time a 99214 is paid at $112 from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, then that's likely what that fee schedule amount is. Right. And then appealing those underpayments automatically.
Yeah, if they're paying the same thing 90% of the time, it might not be right, but it's at least that's what they think it is, right? It's not just random processing. What are some of the RCM processes that somebody might think automation could really work on that we still haven't solved yet? What are some of the things that just doesn't work as well yet?
Yeah, and I think that goes both ways, right? So I'll talk about that, and then I'll talk about the inverse of that. So things that do not really work well or that haven't worked well to date with the technology available. I think it's on the brink, but not quite there. So having bots do telephone calls. I've seen a lot of folks doing that, and some of them are okay, but they have a very high fail rate. Having bots do OCR for text documents works very well, but handwritten documents maybe not as well. Or OCR's ocular character recognition or extracting data from a PDF into like an Excel or being able to do something with that data. And the reason is because the like physicians, you know, they'll do for left, it'll be an L with a circle around it or, you know, anything without the triangles. And so the bots interpreting that, we're almost there, and probably in the next 5 years, I would expect better outcomes, but now we're not just seeing that. And then the inverse, there are things that people think there's no way that bots could do this and do it well, or it would take forever. So we used to train bots to read those EOBs that come in the mail via paper, and we would have to train the bot on every different format of those documents and where to go and pull the relevant information to create an 835. Right. Now there's technology where even without training the bot, it will be able to use semantic similarities to go and pull, and large language models to go and pull the relevant information with a high degree of success.
What have your clients found about what's the impact they're seeing on their staffing, and how do they generally manage that? Because that'll be one of the questions that everybody contemplates when they think about stepping into the world of automation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, it's important to understand there will always be exceptions. There will always be a need for that human element to look at the things that were not successful. We find 80 to 97% success with the median or average around that 93% success rate, meaning that no human intervention is required whatsoever in the escalations. When the bot is not successful, it also will be able to create processes so that it puts it into a work queue or identifies everything is completed except these few things.
Our experience was, you know, it's working from the bottom up in terms of skill sets, right? It's taking out the most repetitive, lowest level of domain knowledge, and your people at the top that have lots of experience, that can process the exceptions, that can deal with the fuzzy logic or argue with the payer. That work is still important. You're just kind of chunking up from the bottom. And Tasha, this is interesting, right? Because our payers, our providers are not getting paid more for their work. And if your rev cycle is fundamentally a people-dependent cost model, those people not only turn over and have babysitter problems, but those costs go up every year in salaries and benefits. And technology really is the answer in something where our cost of rev cycle can't just escalate because the cost of revenue is not. This is the answer. So this is what you guys are stepping into. If somebody's interested in looking at how you might be able to help them, how do they find you? How do they learn about Innobot and see what you guys might be able to do to help?
Yeah, absolutely. They can always reach us by phone, 888-341-1009, or they can reach us on our website, www.innobothealth.com.
Awesome. Natasha, thanks for sharing your story. Also, from one RCM entrepreneur to another, I'm just so excited. You took that early experience, you got an idea and took the leap and launched Innobot. Really appreciate you visiting with us today and telling us your story. Best of luck to you and all your clients.
Thank you so much. It was nice talking with you today.
Likewise. Take care. Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.